Greetings. This is Nazim Abdul-Rashid, author of Reconnected, How to Be a Mentor to Your Child Self. Again, Nazim Rashid, author of Reconnected, How to Be a Mentor to Your Child Self, with this fantastic show today. Yes, entitled Conscious Parenting and Personal Growth. Conscious Parenting and Personal Growth, Part 9. Yes, Part 9. So I would encourage you, like I always say, to go into the archives at www.blogtalkradio.com/Imam Alfred. Scroll down in the archives so you can hear all the other parts, so you can be up to date as to where I am, because a lot of times I refer to previous intervals, previous installments, okay? This is all based on the book Reconnected. So I'm basically reading and expounding on the personal growth areas in the book as it applies to the subject, conscious parenting and personal growth. And you can just understand why it is so important to combine the two, because you can't give what you don't have. And if you are a parent, you need to have the best parenting skills by having the best personal growth, best personal development possible. Okay, very important. You want to have the best kids. You want to be the best you can be inside. And if you don't have kids, it's still important to be the best, so you can be the best at anything that you strive to become. All right? Okay, very good. My website, www.cloudsofabundance.com. Cloudsofabundance.com. My email, nrbookclub@gmail.com. nrbookclub@gmail.com. Okay? All right, then. There we go. Okay. For those of you who don't know, I've spent over 20 years of mental health as a mental health and drug counselor, substance abuse counselor. I went through 12 steps myself. That's also in the book, which I call 12 Principles of Recovery. And those who have really been following along know I did a series on 12 Principles of Recovery and another one on improving and repairing marriages. Okay, all that comes out of this book, Reconnected. All right, very good. Now we're doing conscious parenting and personal growth. All right, up to speed. All right, last week and the week before, we're talking about spirituality. Yes, yeah, spirituality is a very good personal growth area and also good as a conscious parenting tool. Okay, and the sub-topic under that was humility. Humility, absolutely, humility. Yeah, you're very important to understand that. It's not something that makes you less than, not at all. So I will repeat a little bit of what we talked about last session and going from there, okay? All right, very good. That's the last time with humility, you discover you've been doing something wrong. If you discover you've been doing something wrong, you are better able to see your error and take steps to correct it. Okay. You do this without being distracted by the ego's defense systems, which make excuses and shifts blame. Mm-hmm. With humility, knowing that there is only one God, one universal intelligence, we cannot hold on to codependencies, addictions, or any other unhealthy attachments. Got that? Okay. Humility also keeps you from being overcome by guilt or shame due to any mistakes you've made in the past. Everyone falls short of themselves at times. That's right. During such times, humility allows you to confront your erroneous ways without falling into the kinds of extreme self-condemnation, guilt, shame, or low self-esteem that can weaken your resolve and bring about even more failings. With humility, your love and self-respect for yourself stay strong as you focus on doing what is best in each moment. As a parent, it is very important that you have the attitude of living the process. Did you hear that one? Living, not just talking, not just expounding, not just you know, preaching, living the process, and showing the example by being the example. All right? You will be in the position of showing others the way. Showing the way means to lead them on the path of their, not yours, on their inspiration. Now, in order to do this, you have to have a history of first being inspired and then having your life transformed from this process. Mm-hmm. When you live the process, you align who you are with what you do. You integrate all facets of yourself into one person who is led by the most positive and life-affirming part of you. You see, when you live the process, people are drawn to you because of the light that you exude. When you live the process, you are honored to be able to serve others and bring more joy to the world. Yeah. Yeah. You cannot know the meaning of your life until you know the power that created you. Here we go. You have to know your spirit, for to not know your spirit, you cannot know the truth. Living by spiritual law means taking responsibility for every area of your life, your thoughts, feelings, and actions. Being respectful of every form of life you come in contact with. Mm-hmm. All right. We have to take responsibility for our everyday thoughts, feelings, and actions. Now, what are you thinking when you wake up? Ooh. What are your thoughts and feelings when you look at yourself? Do you like what you see? What kind of self-talk goes on when you observe yourself? Anything that you think, feel, and act is connected to something. Those things should be somehow connected to or emanating God's attributes and characteristics. If they are not, then you are at that point disconnected from God. You don't want that. Mm-mm-mm. And with disconnection comes an array of negative possibilities, such as emotions dominating your behavior and thinking, irrational attitudes and acts, and prejudices taking over your personality. Now, through this process, you will discover that nothing is worth doing unless it has a spiritual basis for growth and productivity in your life, and that productive spirit is what God is. Did you get that? Let me say that again. Through this process, you will discover that nothing is worth doing unless it has spiritual basis for growth and productivity in your life, and that productive spirit is what God is. Now, to become a more spiritual, enlightened being, you have to feel a real connection to all that life encompasses. Life isn't everything you see and what your physical eyes don't see. Mm-hmm. When you see a butterfly flying with all its colorful patterns, you should feel a connection. Yeah. You should see your connection when you witness the following: leaves swaying in the wind, the ocean waves on the shore, ducks in formation in the water, lovers on a park bench, the clear blue sky, the rose opening up, a newborn child. Our senior couples reminiscing about their love for one another after 50 years. Huh? Now, there is a real spirit to life, and when you see it manifesting outside yourself, you should feel the connection within. It is all one spirit, and it permeates throughout everything you see. This is why sometimes you feel bad when you see life disrupted. You are admiring the view of the sea from your resort window, and suddenly a pickup truck goes by with screaming kids inside. Now, your peaceful trance is broken. You notice the neighbors are arguing again next door, and your peace is broken. Now, this is natural because your life spirit, you know, your life spirit inside was connected to the life spirit of your environment at that time. You need to recognize when the life spirit is not present. Now, this is what I was referring to earlier when I was describing certain people as losing their humanness. I was doing that last week, actually. Yeah. Yeah. There's a book that I use, one of the main books, by Glenn Edwards and Santoshin, called Unleash Your Spiritual Power and Grow. Now, this book has inspired me to attach myself more to the higher spirit within me. See, as parents, you need to have as much ammunition as possible to help shape your child self and others into the best motivators, life contributors, and elevated souls they can be. Yeah. Here's a quote from Jack Kornfield, which Edwards and Santoshin also included. Quote, "In the beginning, we may erroneously imagine spiritual power to be a linear journey traveling over a certain landscape to a faraway destination of enlightenment. But it is better described as a widening circle or spiral that opens our hearts and gradually infuses our consciousness to include all of life as a spiritual whole," end quote. Question, how receptive to life are you? How willing are you to receive compliments? When someone says to you, "Oh, that sure is a wonderful color on you," or "That dress just glows on you," what do you say? Do you say, "Thank you very much," or do you say, "Oh, this dress is nothing. I got it on sale at Penny's"? See, you will never be able to give to others that you can't receive yourself. You have to keep in mind that you are the one that stops the flow of the universe or the natural flow of God working in and through you by denying God's favor on you, by diminishing the compliments you get. You are in essence saying that you are ungrateful for what God has given you and thus are denying the blessing. This act cuts us off, cuts you off, and stops the flow to the other person as well. Yeah, think about that. They will get some blessing for giving initially, but the return for them is not there because you stop the process. See, there is an important flow that you need to promote actively. When someone gives you a compliment, God is flowing in that person through the compliment. Hear this. When you receive the compliment gracefully and return it with a thank you, you are returning God's blessing to the other person. That person gets a double blessing because they initiated the compliment, and you get the single blessing for receiving it properly and giving it back. You see, the flow continues this way. When you give compliments or do anything positive for someone, the same thing happens for you. Did you follow that? Yeah, try it. Don't stop it. You know, and we know that when we say thank you, we're saying, you know, praise God. Thank you, God. You know, if you don't say it consciously, make sure and keep that in your subconscious. Make sure you say it to yourself. I always say that because, you know, compliments can make you drunk. Yeah, make you intoxicated. So, you know, keep that in mind. Always, always. Because you aren't the one. Okay? But show gratitude. A man went through a toll bridge and paid for his car and the car behind him. When the man behind attempted to pay, the operator told him that the man ahead paid his toll and he wanted him to have a great day. Well, after thinking about that charitable act, this man decided to do the same thing for the person behind him. Just think about that flow. and where that positive spiritual energy will wind up. That kind of giving anonymously snowballs. Oh, yeah. We need help in getting into the right position to receive properly from the emotional and spiritual perspective. This is where spiritual practices come in. With all the distractions we have in the world, outside of ourselves and within, we need to have some process for calming the mind and body. Yeah. Every personal development specialist that I've studied, and I went through a few of them, has said that meditation is the process. I meditate every morning. A very good by Dr. Herbert Benson. Remember that. Oh, yeah. It's called the Relaxing Response. The Relaxation Response. He has another one out now. Might be Relaxing Response Book 2 or whatever. But if you Google that one, you'll find his other books. The Relaxation Response. Oh, yeah, definitely recommend that one. Yeah, I started meditating through that example. All right, he lays out in that book. Meditation quiets the soul and opens up the channels of receptivity within. Children can learn meditation. This will help them calm the spirit of peer pressure and crowd pleasing that they will confront down the line. It is said that when we pray, we talk to God, but when we meditate, God talks to us. Yeah. It has been proven how meditation brings down blood pressure, reduces and eliminates anger, makes us use the part of our brain that thinks and reasons instead of reacting to emotional stimuli alone. It reduces everyday stress and brings about more love and peace within. We learn how to connect to God and how to really be at peace within. This is very important as we are learning how to mold our young minds, you see. This is one of the most lost virtues today with our youth. They have no peace, no peace, you see, no peace within. Now look, having no peace within means not needing to promote or have peace in the environment. Harming others, killing others, stealing from others, and disrespecting authority easy and an acceptable thing to do and is applauded by their peers. Yeah. See, meditation will help us to always have a way to connect and return home when we tend to stray. Oh, yeah. And when I talk about identifying and managing emotions coming up soon, I'm going to talk more in detail about this. See, every day is another day to bless someone. Another day to receive blessings. Another day to be grateful. Another day to find new reasons to be grateful. Another day to love life and love life and what life has for us. Another day to honor our spirit. Another day to love ourselves. I'm talking about the higher self now. Another day to honor truth wherever we experience it. Another day to praise God. Well, all right. Ooh, that feels good to me. All right. We have to take time to know self. Now, I talk about this a lot. What self are you talking about? Who are you? Who are you as you look into the mirror? What are you about? What motivates you? What makes you feel good? What qualities are deep within that have not surfaced recently or ever? What did God create when you were born? Good question, huh? What does your life work look like? Who is going to benefit from your special talents? What part of you do you want to transform? And transform into what? Do you really know the higher self or the God self within you? Good questions. Now, when we talk about honoring the spirit within you, you have to know which spirit you are talking about. Now, we're only referring to the higher spirit, okay? But first, you have to be in touch with that higher spirit. How can you honor something you know nothing about? Therefore, we have to take time to know our true selves. Make a date with yourself. That's funny, huh? Take yourself out to dinner. Flirt with yourself. Interview yourself like you interviewed your first dates. Have fun. Look yourself in the eye and say, I love you. When you say this, look deep within and love that higher spirit, the healthy subconscious. See, the more love you deposit there, you will give more returns of self-esteem and an assurance that you not only are honoring your spirit, but are at one with it. Yeah. Awaken to the infinite qualities within you by embracing the whole of what you are through the self-awareness and self-acceptance process. You become more observant and conscious of different levels of your being. By accepting the whole picture, healthy and unhealthy characteristics, you can look practically at what is working and what is not working. You always ask yourself, is what you're doing working for you? How is it benefiting you? If it's not benefiting you on one level or another, you would not do it. Think about it. Now, many contend that you need to eliminate all negative traits in order to grow. I and many others in the field believe we have to accept them all. Yeah, you have to accept them all. Negative energy is just strong energy going in the wrong direction. Yeah, we can transform. We can transform that negative energy into energy that is driving us to our goals in a strong, assertive manner. See, in Muslim cultures, well, you Muslims, you understand this already. This energy is referred to as the jinn. The jinn idea can be depicted as an accelerated gas pedal in your car. When that pedal is pressed down, the car is going to move. The direction in which you are heading depends on you, which is the intellect, taking control of the steering wheel. We cannot blame the accelerating gas pedal if we crash into a tree. The question is, what were you doing with the steering wheel? You see, the jinn is not bad. It is only doing what God designed it to do, and that is to be the motivating and testing factor in our lives. If it is left uncontrolled, you will head toward danger. The pedal will go down whether you want it to or not. What will you do with the steering wheel? That's the question. Huh? You are going to do something. Now, what will that something be? We might want to do nothing, be lazy, non-decisive, and non-committal. Well, the pedal will go down, motivating you to make a decision. If you are in touch with your higher self, your decision will be good, which will benefit you and others. But if you are not in touch with your higher self, then your decision will reflect you being disconnected from your higher self. When you accept the creative, positive, and productive forces within, you will rise above fears, doubts, and limitations. Yeah, sure. Well, there's a well-known quote by this guy named Swami Sivananda. Swami Sivananda. He says, a lot of you have heard this before. He says, cowardice ask, is it safe? Avarice ask, is there any gain in it? Vanity ask, can I become great? Lust ask, is there pleasure in it? But conscience ask, is it right? We should see now that spirituality is a very personal idea or concept. Connecting to the divine and experiencing the realms that exist beyond the sensory world. You see now that you don't need to go through anyone or anything in order to be spiritual. Religions are supposed to help you become more spiritual, but unfortunately, these spiritual teachers, leaders, priests, imams, rabbis, reverends, enlightened ones, sheikhs more often, are concerned with uplifting their own bottom line. You see, your religious path is the path that helps you become more spiritual, emotionally intelligent, independent thinking, and empowered to make your own conscious choices for yourself, knowing that it is God alone that you have to answer to. Spirituality says that even if you think you're limited and small, it simply is not true. Yeah. You are greater and more powerful than you have ever imagined. A great divine light exists inside of you and in everyone you will ever know in the future. This light is evident more and more as we elevate our own spiritual consciousness. As our own light shines from within, we notice it more than others. Oh, yeah. So, you know, stop having this poverty thinking, thinking you're limited and small. See, what happens when you think about that, think that you're limited, a lot of you put that on God, saying God is limited, God is small. In relations, I say this all the time. I said it in a lot of my series on marriages earlier, a few months ago. Yeah, you think that God cannot give you a mate. Oh, well, all the good mates are taken. They're all gone now. Sister got a good husband. He got a good wife. That's it now. None for me. A lot of our sisters say, well, if I can be a good number two, I'll be all right. If I can be a good number three, a good number four, that's okay with me. As long as I'm in the number somewhere. You see? God is not limited. No. Let me show you another story. It is a wonderful moment to experience an evening exchange with another spiritual soul. The other night, I was performing with my jazz group in life. You know I'm a jazz musician too. In a restaurant when the publisher of a well-known advertising directory walked in. Yeah. He is a good friend of mine and I was glad to see him come out and support my group. I told him that the owners were out. I know he likes to talk to venue owners in hope of them taking out advertising in his directory. He told me that he wasn't there for them, but he was there for me. He wanted me to know that supporting my group was an important gesture for him to do. His wide smile was indicative of his sincerity. Yeah, my spirit immediately picked up his elevated spirit, and I wanted him to try the house tea as I bragged about how good and natural it was without the addition of honey or sugar. Yeah, he agreed, and a waitress brought him a glass of tea. Well, he took plenty of pictures of the unique tea loft venue, and he was very pleased with the venue and my group. Well, I complimented him on his publication and his work in the field, and he praised my music. As he was leaving, he told me that he took care of the tea himself, as I was intending to pay for it. Well, I felt that he knew that. He was smiling as he walked out of the door. Afterward, as I was driving home, I said to myself, a wonderful spiritual exchange we had tonight. He was constantly giving, and I was trying to find a way to give to him. That is a perfect example of the spiritual flow that we need to not only keep in mind, but to actually practice as much as we can. See, it does take two to tango, but if we look for those opportunities, it can happen more often than not. See, one person is giving to us. We recognize the charity and we return it to them. They see that we are spiritually connected and they give it to us again. We continue to reciprocate, see, back and forth. Yeah, that's why I love being around givers. I love it. As you know, I'm a counselor, so when I'm in certain counseling circles, I love it. Because as I talk, they listen. When they talk, I listen. Oh, it's wonderful. We give compliments freely. We validate one another. It's fantastic. That's how we grow. Yes. Yeah, this is a wonderful concept to pass on. You see? Now, my household, as in many households, like your household probably, when you grew up, this concept of spirituality never existed. Okay? All I was told was to go to church every Sunday and put on my semi-formal attire, which I could not stand to do. You know, we were told to listen to the preacher and be quiet. That was about it for our spiritual practice. Well, I have always been a very observant child. And I knew early on that the church experience that I was exposed to was more entertaining than anything else. I saw nothing there that was to be taken seriously, and certainly nothing that suggested that a direct connection to God was something that we all need to have. That sort of thing wasn't discussed. I really don't think my parents, or parents in general at that time, knew how to talk about spirituality separate from the church. You see? Now, I took comic books, stuffed them in my dress shirt, and read them during service on many occasions. Now, it was the organ playing with such great rhythm, percussion, and drive that got my attention. Yeah. That's why I like Jimmy Smith and Charles Erlin today, you know. I would sit by the organ player and enjoy myself as if he was playing just for me. Mm-hmm. The organ in this church was on the far right of the church, and the piano was on the far left where most of the people sat, probably because the exit door was close by that side. From the position I was sitting, I could observe everything that was taking place. It was great entertainment for a kid like me. I saw the very large preacher with his colorful suits rant on and on and on. He made sure that the plate passed around a few different times, probably several different times. I said to myself, well, he is collecting again. I saw certain church members start shouting in a call response format with the preacher. He would say a certain thing or motion in a certain way, and then some members would respond right on cue with a shout or a scream, with the accompanying flailing of their arms or dancing around either in place or up and down the aisle. It was a hit show, and I was thoroughly entertained. As I got a little older, I discovered that most of the members took the whole experience very seriously. I felt sorry for them. I thought, don't they know this whole thing is only entertainment? They can't take this to heart. Well, the preacher had everything in place to get maximum returns. He had the driving, kicking music from the best musicians, an excellent rocking choir. He also had plants out there, you know what I'm talking about, plants, in the congregation who would, upon certain cues, start the shouting and screaming, which would in turn get others to join in. Well, it was an intentionally contagious process that I witnessed from across the church in my little spot next to the organ. I learned a lot from that early church experience and about human nature and what drives people to do certain things. Well, I learned how people can become manipulated through guilt and fear to give money and a way of atonement for the supposed sins and wrongdoings. And who really benefits from this giving? I'm sure you can guess. Anyway, that's my experience there in the church there, my early experience. Now, like I was saying earlier, I was talking about spirituality, which is a personal growth area that connects directly to the idea of personal growth and conscious parenting. Okay? All right. Again, I'll send my website, cloudsofabundance.com. Again, cloudsofabundance.com. Okay. Now, the next area we're going to start now, we're going to continue this on the next few sessions, is on attachments, addictions, and codependency. Again, attachments, addictions, and codependency. And those are very important. How can you have a happy parenting experience if you have some unhealthy attachments taking your focus away from your kids and onto your substance, onto your something else, gambling or who knows what, adultery, who knows what. Yeah. So it's very important. And codependency, if you don't have it, you know, things in order where you depend on nothing but God to lead you, you have problems. And you'll be neglecting a lot of needs of your children, neglecting your own needs. That's why, again, I call it personal growth and conscious parenting. Okay? Very important to understand this. We got to get this together because too many of us have failed marriages, failed parenting, you know, failed our duty to our children, lost jobs, all behind having unhealthy attachments. So before I even start this, any of you all got addictions, like you're smoking and that cigarette controls you, sex controls you, you've got to have, you know, the sex on a regular basis and not from your wife or husband, you know, got codependency issues, you got to stay in a relationship that's killing you, you're enabling someone, you should be running away from them instead, you don't know how to be happy by yourself, then pay close attention to this next area I'm going to talk about. Like, I'm going to start this because time is running out pretty soon. I'll start it, but I'll continue this topic for the next few sessions, okay? All right, now that preface that. All right, we have all heard the saying, birds of a feather flock together, and the fruit doesn't fall far from the tree. Huh? What we attach ourselves to, we share in its nature. Hear that? I'll say it again. What we attach ourselves to, we share in its nature. We are products of our environment. We are the only species that can become other than what our nature really is, and that is human being. We lost that. We lost that. A lot of us have lost that. We've thrown in our human card. I remember a while back, a long time ago, a boy was discovered in the jungle living as a monkey. The monkeys raised him from a baby, and he took on the ways of the monkey society. He sounded like the monkeys. He walked like the monkeys. He became, in his mentality, a monkey. It took a lot of reconditioning to bring the humanness back into the boy. And even then, he was influenced by his prior conditioning, which in his subconscious mind was considered normal. Now, this story only reinforces the fact that we have to watch the influences around us and really decipher if these influences are what we want to internalize or not. Addictions and unhealthy attachments have to be addressed. See, human beings are all prone to some type of addiction. Now, with this term addiction, I'm not just referring to drug addictions. Addictions are, quote, the compulsive and out of control use of any chemical substance, lifestyle, or behavior that produces recognizable and identifiable unpleasant withdrawal symptoms when the use of the drug or lifestyle is stopped, end quote. Get that? Yeah. Some people have nicotine, caffeine, television, certain social groups, food, control over others, domination, codependency in relationships, jobs, material achievements, criminal behavior, sex, inflated egos and drugs, illegal and prescriptions. Yeah, as their addiction, as their God. You see? Since humans tend to depend on exterior motivations, it is no wonder why we have so many deadly attachments. Yeah. It's so very important to understand. A lot of people just accept this kind of thing. Accept it. Don't accept it. No. See, we have this need to reach out and cling on to not do so for the vast majority of us leads to a feeling of being inadequate, alone, unsafe, and not belonging anywhere. This unmet need can lead to depression and various psychological disorders. Instead of using consequential thinking, which is thinking in a methodical, logical manner, respecting the law of cause and effect, we allow subconsciously our emotions unchecked by knowledge to lead us to unhealthy attachments. Mm-hmm. Now, because of the inherent need to please and to connect, even the prostitute feels somewhat whole now that she has found a low-down pimp to manage her. Because of the same inherent need to please, the nice, quiet, religious wife chooses a seemingly nice husband, not consciously acknowledging that he is an alcoholic and abuser, just hoping the problem would go away. Consequential thinking will lead us to healthier attachments that not only will benefit us personally, but will benefit others to whom we are in contact. Yeah. Yeah, very important to understand that. See, parents need to understand addictions and teach healthy attachments, again, healthy attachments to our youth outside and inside of themselves. All right? The youth need to know that addictions come in two forms. Hear that. Two forms. Inherent and acquired. Got that? Inherent and acquired. Okay? Inherent addictions are what we received or inherited from our parents. Sometimes we are predisposed to addictions, having that X factor, right? Which is that unknown genetic disposition, okay? Unknown genetic disposition. Hear that? I'll be using X factor quite a bit, so hear that. All right. Having the X factor for addictions, as the Alcoholic Anonymous AA Big Book describes, okay? Yeah, this X factor was passed along through the bloodline. Yeah, I've got it in my bloodline. A lot of y'all do too. If we have this X factor, we have to really be cautious as to what kind of lifestyle and habits we are going to undertake. All right? Now, if this X factor is for alcohol, it means that we are predisposed to alcohol addiction. A healthy person, knowing this, will not have any alcohol as part of his or her lifestyle. You see, there will be a zero tolerance for alcohol use, alcohol-related activities, environments, or alcoholic friends or associates. Yeah, cut them loose. We must first investigate our family backgrounds and see what exists. We need to know this. There are questions that we need to either ask or find out for ourselves. If there is an addiction link in the family, we need to acknowledge that. And in that recognition, we shape our lives accordingly. Addictions are very, very serious and should not be taken lightly. So many lives are destroyed by not recognizing the deleterious nature of addictions. Right? That's inherent addictions, okay? Now, acquired addictions are addictions that we attain from our environment. Somebody offers you crack cocaine. You try it once, and because of the tremendous pull on your system, you may become addicted immediately. You might say, not me. Now, your body and mind are focused on your next hit. Now, let me give you an example. You think, not me? Hear this. There was an NBA basketball player, Lynn Bias, NBA, that smoked crack cocaine one time and died from that experience. His heart could not take that kind of surge. The doctor has you on strong pain medications because of an injury. Hear this story. The medication is barely taking the pain away, and you're suffering. Man, you're suffering. You're feeling bad. Somebody offers you an alternative to your medication, heroin. You say to yourself, I'm not taking that. It is not legal, and it is addicting. But pain is talking to you. That pain is pressing you. That pain is like a vice grip on your brain. The voice of the pain is now louder than your reasonable mind, and you take the heroin. The heroin works, and the pain subsides. You feel guilty for what you have just done, but the only thing you're thinking about is that the pain is now under control. I hear this. Man, I hear this. You are now addicted. Your body cannot be at peace without that fix. That happens to people all the time. And the great musician, saxophone player, you jazz lovers might know, Charlie Parker, had that happen to him. Unfortunately, because he was so far ahead of everybody else of his era musically, others started using heroin too, just to be like Bird. That was his nickname. He started a whole epidemic of musicians using heroin, and he really felt really bad about that. Yeah. See, the addiction process gets compounded when someone has the X factor for addiction, and they get associated with that particular drug-oriented group. Yeah. Here we have the weakness and the opportunity staring at them for the death process to start. Now, this is very sad because, you know, I've been through a lot of pain recently. Myself, I just had some major neck surgery. You know, a lot of pain before that, a lot of serious pain. You know, I can understand that. I feel for those who go into the illegal drugs just to get rid of the pain. It's sad that they don't have other ways to take care of that, you know? So I understand. I feel for those who are in this category, you know? Like I opened up this chapter, human beings are prone to some kind of addiction or addictions. All right, hear this out. The engaging of the sperm and the egg is an attaching process, yeah. The semen, it's very sticky. We were all born through the process of attaching. It is through attaching that we are formed into living, breathing human beings. Yeah. That attaching process continues as we are attached to our mothers through the umbilical cord. Now, after the cord was severed, attachment to our mothers continues as she is in our minds, God. It is a natural process to look at our origins for our strength, guidance, directions, and what our accepted standards are going to be. Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. The healthy mother, knowing this, will give the best that she has, keeping the attributes of God in mind. Automatically, she will be the source of compassion, love, empathy, provision, and protection. Now, her intention is to pass on God's qualities and characteristics to the infant. She does this by first demonstrating the characteristics and second, informing the child where these characteristics originate. This is an example of healthy attachments and how the great majority of us started our life on this earth. Yeah. Now, if we have in our mind to only attach our true selves to God, we can then have a good standard of our earthly associations. Absolutely. Okay? Let's look at the relationship of mother and child. After a child is separated physically from the mother, there still exists a very strong attachment. Is that right? Isn't that right? Yeah. As the child develops, the healthy mother guides and instructs the child to start operating on their own. The mother is giving the child responsibilities, such as communicating clearly and later cleaning up after themselves. Okay? All right, the child is learning step by step how to be independent of the mother, to start thinking for themselves and later accepting to be the co-creator of their lives. See, the healthy, I got to keep qualifying that because a lot of mothers are not healthy. The healthy mother doesn't stop this process. On the contrary, she wants to promote this idea and process of independence. The mother is only temporarily there to what? Guide, model correct behavior, establish high standards of excellence, empower the child, encourage spiritual development, promote independence. Now, during this process, the mother is reflecting God's characteristics and instilling them into the child. Yeah. This is a healthy attachment of the mother to child. I'm going to read a poem by Khalil Gibran from his book, The Prophet. A lot of you all have this. Yeah, I got this long time ago. Good book. The Proverbs. For those mothers who insist that the child belongs solely to them and attach themselves in unhealthy codependent ways that stifle the child's ability to stand up on their own. All right, listen to this. On children, Khalil Gibran, he says, your children are not your children. They are the sons and daughters of life's longing for itself. They come through you, but not from you. And though they are with you, yet they belong not to you. You may give them your love, but not your thoughts, for they have their own thoughts. You may house their bodies, their souls, for their souls dwell in the house of tomorrow, which you cannot visit, not even in your dreams. You may strive to be like them, but seek not to make them like you. For life goes not backward, nor tarries with yesterday. You are the bows from which your children, as living arrows, are sent forth. The archer sees the mark upon the path of the infinite, and he bends you with his might, that his arrows may go swift and far. Let your bending in the archer's hand be for gladness, for even as he loves the arrow that flies, so he loves the bow that is stable. End quote. Isn't that wonderful? Yeah. Wonderful. Yeah. By the way, you know, we don't have a much longer on the show today. If you want to say a few words about what I'm talking about today, just hit number one on your telephone and bring you in on the conversation. And we'll have a nice short discussion, okay? So I'll just let you know that. A lot of people like to talk and listen. I mean, like to listen on their phone, and that's good. But if you want to say something, you can, okay? All right. Unfortunately, what we see repeatedly on television and in our communities are the result of unhealthy attachments, which many times start with unhealthy attachments at home. Yeah, I have had many, many incidents as a teacher where the parent was obviously responsible for the child's behavior and defending their misbehavior. Oh, yeah, many. I got a lot of stories. I could write a book about that. Yeah. Codependency is another form of unhealthy attachments. The original concept of codependency was developed to acknowledge the responses and behaviors people develop from living with an alcoholic or substance abuser. Over the years, codependency has expanded into a definition which describes a dysfunctional pattern of living and problem solving developed during childhood by family rules. Yeah. Another definition of codependency is, quote, a set of maladaptive, compulsive behaviors learned by family members in order to survive in a family which is experiencing great emotional pain and stress. End quote. Now, if a person is maladaptive, they are displaying an inability to develop behaviors which get their needs met. Again, they are displaying an inability to develop behaviors which get their needs met. Codependents are dependent on someone else's problems, hence the name co-dependent, as in co-operating or co-connected. Codependents have that tendency to get involved in relationships with people who are unreliable, emotionally unavailable, and needy. To allow you all to understand this one, hope you're not in this kind of a relationship. It's awful. Awful. Yeah. Now, again, what does this have to do with conscious parenting? Everything. If you're a codependent, what are you teaching that child? That's okay to have someone who doesn't really love you, that just kind of beats you up and, you know, doesn't really care about you? No. Or is it okay to be a bully? Yeah. If the child has seen that, guess what the child would become? That. They see. They don't say what you tell them, you know, they don't obey your words. They obey your presentation. Yeah, for sure. Okay? All right. So if the man, I'm staying on target here, again, conscious parenting and personal growth, all right? If the man is an alcoholic, he needs someone who is going to support him in his alcoholism. If he can't stand up, he needs someone there to hold him up and cover up his faults. She, being the codependent or enabler, needs to have someone who is going to protect her and give her the image of a strong husband. This quote-unquote good husband is providing and maintaining the household and is not going to expect her to be strong within and independent. No, doesn't want her to do that. He will also tell her that he loves her occasionally, here and there. Her self-esteem and self-image are very low. So she pretends to feel good in this made-up image of a marriage. Again, made-up image. A lot of us are, it's so unfortunate. Many of us are living in made-up images of marriage. Whew. That projection is her personal esteem that she is internalizing. Okay? She doesn't know how to get her real needs met, so she lives a life of pretense with a man who also has self-esteem issues. So together, they're happy, or so they seem. Don't ask him to lead a life of sobriety, moral behavior, healthy thinking and living. Don't ask her to develop her own self-esteem and self-image, honor her own spirit within, honor her own spirituality and independence. If they did that, then they would have to really look at themselves. And they can't do that. Oh, no, too much like right. That would take a great deal of work and acceptance of their higher self. Denial is much more convenient. Yeah. After all, it is what they are used to. Very convenient. It is an acceptable pattern of behavior. This pattern was probably learned from their parents. Wounded children come from wounded parents. All right? Now remember, whatever the parents exhibit becomes acceptable in the child's mind. It might be drug use, abuse, profanity, disrespect of self and others, general disobedience, smoking, drinking, lacking of family values, non-supportive behaviors, and of course, codependency. Now, even look at profanity. Even Malcolm X talked against that. He said, for those who love using profanity, they're lacking the intelligence to find the correct word to describe their feelings. When he was incarcerated, he read the dictionary from cover to cover. Yeah. He wanted to know the meaning, but he was instructed to do that. Idea that he wanted to know the meaning of the words, and therefore he can describe his feelings adequately. And this is what we need to pass on to our children. After all, I have a whole section coming up on that, with feeling words, feelings. So the kids will know exactly how to express themselves in correct, intelligent language. Yeah, we need to know what's appropriate for certain age groups, but then use those words in our household with ourselves, and the kids will pick that up. For sure. No excuse, profanity all the time. I see it on Facebook all the time. Everything where MF this and N-word that and F you that. I mean, come on. We are created as an upright human being, okay? Thinking human being, using the frontal lobe, the seat of intelligence. Yeah, for sure. Okay? Now, on one level, the child would not like certain negative behaviors, such as fighting and other forms of abuse. But on the subconscious level, the mind is recording what is acceptable and stored for future use. Yeah. I'll pass on another quote by a guy named Robert Burney. He says, codependence is an emotional defense system that is set up the wounded inner child within us from the shame of being exposed as unlovable and unworthy, as stupid and weak, as a loser and failure, as whatever it was that we got the message was the worst thing to be. We were taught to evaluate whether we had worth in comparison to others, smarter than, prettier than, faster than, richer than, more successful than, thinner than, stronger than, etc. End quote. You see, in this kind of mindset, we learn to be judgmental of others because that is easier than looking at our own internal deficits. Yeah, being right was very important for us and the way that we found worth. Isn't that sad? Being right was very important and the way we found worth. This is why counselors have posed the question to courting couples. Do you want to be right or do you want to be happy? Do you remember those old bullies who were so sensitive that they felt bothered, angry, or even threatened by someone looking strangely at them or giving them the evil eye? They, the innocent victim, might have demonstrated a so-called distasteful body language toward them. See, this is a clear sign of a type of codependency problem. They feel that either they, the supposed threatened one, are right and they are losers, which confirms what their parents have repeatedly said, or they are wrong, in which case justifies an attack to prove they are right. See, for a classic codependent, they seem to have a radar set up to draw in just the ones who are punished, just the ones who will push their buttons, the ones who will be the worst possible mates. See, the ones who will be unavailable, unloving, abusive, and the ones to bring out the worst in them. As long as you're reacting unconsciously to the past, and you are when you pick these negative people as your mates, then you will blame and argue about who is right and who is wrong. See, we become codependent through living in families with rules that hinder development on some level or another. The family system has been developed in response to problems such as alcoholism, mental illness, controlling or dominating father and mother, absentee parents, and violence. Okay, got that? Okay. All right, we're going to put a little pause on it right there, you see. And I appreciate everybody calling in. We always get a lot of callers coming in the show. And you'd rather listen than participate in the show. And that's okay. That's okay. And remember, if you called in late or you missed anything or I was talking too fast, as I sometimes do, go back in our archives, www.blogtalkradio.com/email Alfred. I thank email Alfred for allowing me to have this time on this show to talk about this personal and critical area of conscious parenting. Yeah, for sure. So go to the website and scroll down into the archives, and you'll see conscious parenting and personal growth, and click on part 9 to hear this one, and click on the other ones if you haven't heard those, all right? Now, when you click on them and you listen to the shows, right above the picture, you'll see the bar that has the soundtrack. You can pause or speed up or go back. Well, right to the right of that, you see a little cloud icon, Put your mouse there, click. That's how you download the program. All right? When you download the program, you have it, you rename it, you know, because it downloads in numbers. Like it might say show number 89492. So rename it so you know what it is, and that'll be in your hard drive. Then you can listen to it anytime you want to. Burn CDs or put into your iPod, you know. Anything like that. Listen to it as much as you can, because let me tell you, we have people who are giving lectures. It's good to have the tapes or CDs, because sometimes it takes 8 or 9 times to listen to something before you really get the message that's designed for you, that God has designed for you. I've done it many times. I've heard lectures where I'll get the tape, and after about 8 or 9 times, I say, man, I didn't hear that before. Wow. Like the the light bulb comes on, the aha moment that Oprah talks about. Yeah, so do that and download it and listen to it as much as possible. And tell your friends, pass it along. All this is free therapy. Yeah, for sure. All right? So again, I'm Nazim Abdul-Rashid. Website, cloudsofabundance.com. Again, cloudsofabundance.com. All right, got that? All right, you can email me. I'd love to hear from you. In our book club@gmail.com. In our book club at gmail.com. BarnesandNoble.com. And plus, you can go on my website and get the book. You can go on Barnes & Noble and get it reconnected, How to Be a Mentor to Your Child Self. And I was reading and expounding on the personal growth areas in the book that relate to conscious parenting and personal growth. All right? So we're going to pick up more areas in this area of unhealthy attachments and codependency and addictions next time. So tune in for sure. Okay, got that? Okay, and I'd love to hear from you. It's very important to hear from you. A lot of us are just on some other path, and we keep living dysfunctional lives, have dysfunctional marriages, we're raising the kids who are just dysfunctional, mad, and angry, and they destroy the schools, and have a lot of problems out here. We have to reconcile our lives, get our lives back in order, yeah, and start taking on healthy attributes for ourselves. Do that. Accept in your life only those things which are healthy. If the marriage or relationship you're in is not healthy, get rid of it. God didn't make you be in that. It's a choice. Get out of it, and God will draw you to that which is good. As long as you want that, as long as you say, God, kind of relationship I'm going to have, then you can do that. God is not, limited. He's unlimited. He gives you anything you want. Absolutely. In his time frame, though. Keep that in mind. All right. Very good. With that in mind, we're going to close out the show. And I want to hear from you. Get the book. I want to hear what parts of the book, a lot of you do have the book, what parts of the book are really doing it for you. Okay, I'd like to hear your comments. So again, in our book club at Gmail. Oh, by the way, I forgot. My show, the Reconnected Show on Saturdays. Every Saturday, I guess it's our time change. It's 2 o'clock now, I guess. 3 hours, yeah. So it's 2 hours now, Eastern Standard Time. And you can call 347-994-2524. Again, 347-994-2524. One more time. 347-994-2524. And we connect the show, and I'm a host on that show. And I will I do more talking on this show, so I'm hosting that one. But I have a lot of good personal growth specialists on that show helping us to become better human beings. Okay? Better human beings. That's the most important thing. Be a better human being. Okay? I'm going to close the show, but tell you what, right before I close, there's one person that wants to say a few words. I'm going to bring them on the air. The caller, you're on the air. And I guess you're calling from a Google phone. See a lot of ones here. So, caller, you're on the air. You're on the air.
From a Google phone? Yeah,
I hear you. Yes, sir.
Yeah.
Do you have a comment or a question? I'm doing fine, praise God. How are you doing? Yes, sir.
I'm fine, thank a lot. Fine, thank a lot. Assalamu alaikum, first of all, brother.
Wake up, Islam.
Yeah, I wanted to know when a parent is teaching and nurturing their child, right?
Yes.
They get blessings for that.
Oh yeah.
But on the same token, you was touching about a parent nurturing the child, raising them from the cradle to the grave.
Yes.
Yeah. There's a chance when a child can be corrupted by society and he's on his own once he's raised by his parents. How does he keep going if he gets off his nurturance of his mother and gets off in his path? How does he take care of himself? How does he come back to reality?
Well, first of all, keep in mind,
when he's a man, when he's on his own,
Yes. Yes. Well, keep
Even
in mind.
When he's on his own, when he grows to adulthood, how does he come back to reality?
Okay. Now, keep in mind that if he was raised in a healthy way by the parents, in a healthy way, he always has a healthy germ, the healthy energy in him or her. He always has that. Now, believe me, no, I don't care how good the parenting style was, especially in adolescence. Kids are going astray a little bit. They go to test the limits. They go to test the waters. They all go to do that. But
They're going to drink alcohol. They're going to have sex. Excuse me. They're going to drink alcohol. They're going to have sex. They're going to do what they want to do because they're
21. Yeah, they're going to test it some kind of way or another. On some level or another, they're going to test the waters, okay? So we all know that part. However, if they're raised in a healthy way, they will come back. And that's why it's so important for a parent when they're actually teaching correctly, they got to pray. I'm telling you, parents are doing the right thing, and they let the child go. They got to pray some hardcore
prayers. Suppose they got the perfect parents, though, and it's not the parents' fault, and it's not even their fault. Suppose, like, not a mental illness, but suppose they just do whatever they want to do, whether they're Christian, Jewish, atheist, Islamic, and they learn their lesson, and they know what they're doing is wrong, and they're just doing it, not out of spite, but they're doing it because they're old enough and they feel like that's what they want to do. That's what makes them happy.
Well, let me tell you, the old saying goes, life is the best teacher, you know, and life will spank them. And show them if they might have to, you know, I'm telling you, they might get arrested a couple of times before they learn. You see?
Okay.
That
okay.
might have to happen to them. I've told nephews of mine. I say, you know what? You want to do what you want to do? There's a black hole with your name on the bottom of it. You want to keep on acting like this? There's a black hole with your name, and you're gonna fall in that black hole, and you're gonna see your name at the bottom. Okay. And now, if it takes you to break a couple legs and lose an arm before you learn the right thing or come back to what you're taught, that's what it took for you. Now, you don't have to go that route. But if you're going to be that headstrong, then that's what it takes. That's what you're going to deal with. That's your lesson. You follow me?
Yeah, I hear you, brother. I hear you.
Yeah. Yeah, unfortunate. I'm telling you.
Suppose they learn a lesson like a man that learns it from life's teachings, his experience. So, like, when you're talking about Malcolm X, even Malcolm X himself was incarcerated. Plymouth Rock didn't land Plymouth Rock landed on us.
That's right.
It's because the way society got this thing designed for us to fail. So then we resent it. We might have the perfect parents. We might believe in Allah or Jesus Christ or whatever, you know, whatever you believe in. You know, And you know right from wrong, and you have a clear mind, but you just do what you do because you can and because you're old enough to do that.
Yeah. Yeah, you can. You can.
And you know.
You know, it's... Go ahead.
And like, how do you overcome that? How do you overcome becoming a better human being? Because ain't nobody perfect in this world except Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, brother.
Exactly. Now, keep in mind, see, the healthy parent believes on aligning their spirit with the spirit of the children. In other words, saying that, okay, I know you're going to test the waters. You're going to stray a little bit. I know that, okay, youngster. Okay, I know that, all right? Keep in mind, all right, that the world does not love you out there, all right? You might think you have a friend out there. You might think you have a friend in alcohol, drugs, or women and men out there. You think you might have that. They will betray your trust, okay? The only one you can give your trust in is in one God, Allah, all right? Only one, all right? I'm telling you that you have one spirit that you are to follow if you want to be okay and be productive in this world. And that's the path of righteousness. That's the path of doing right and being charitable and being productive yourself, okay? Now, if for those kids who just want to try, they're going to do that. But I'm telling you, if a parent really comes off their pedestal and really speaks that person as an equal spirit of God, as we all are, the kids are less likely to test it to that extreme. You know what I'm saying? Too many times, the parent they want to be on a parenting pedestal. You can't do that. We're all equal spirits from God. All right, and at a time, especially in a teenage period of time, especially in the latter adolescence, we got to speak to our teenagers as the equal spirit of God, and let them know what's out there for them, if they do right, and if they do wrong. And I'm telling you, if the parent does it that way, they're less likely to go to extremes out there.
Okay, now the child is reaching the age of adulthood; he's out of adolescence. And he's ready to pay his own rent. This is my last point I'm going to touch on right here. He's ready to take care of himself. He might not be a millionaire. He might not even have a job. He might not even get welfare, but he works every day. You know, he works under the table.
Okay.
And he's out of his own. He's ready to pay his own rent. So he pack his stuff up and he leave. He go on. He don't even have a car. He on foot with nothing but his luggage on. Now, he taking care of himself with no support, but he still do what he want to do. He never been in jail a day in his life. But he making his way, he paying his rent now, he buying food, He's not asking nobody for nothing. He assumed responsibility, but he still chose to drink alcohol, smoke marijuana, and do what he wanted to do, knowing he's risking he breaking his mother and father's heart.
Right.
How did he
overcome that,
brother?
I'm telling you, like I was saying before, if those are headstrong and doing those kind of things, life is the best lesson. If they don't want to listen to reason on level,
yeah, you're
here on another level. One level, nothing.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir.
And I tell you, brother, you know, my time's running out, and they're surely about to cut me off here. But I tell you,
okay,
call
brother.
Next time.
All right.
Man,
peace,
I appreciate that, man.
I call
that's
back,
I'm like,
brother. All right, I call back. I'm waking my salon, my wife to love. All right, I'm waking my salon, my wife to love, but I can't do it,
I'm doing loud. I'm waking my slob. And I'll end the program now, but I'm telling you, call back next time, and we're going to have a good time here. And I give everybody the peace that only Allah, only God has for you.
Alhamdulillah. Alhamdulillah. Wa alaykum as-salam, brother.